And we're back here for the final hour of this morning of the early show on WWGH Radio. Scott Spears along with you Thursday, August the 1st, 2019, 14 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, talking about the Democratic primary presidential debates of the last two nights. And do want to remind you, there'll be an open house at Mary Ellen's Museum on August 31st from 2 to 4 p.m. at Primrose Wellness Drive, 1550 Wellness Drive here in Marion, right out by the YMCA. Turn and follow the road around and you will find it. Free admission, and Mary Ellen will be there on that date. USA Today has just come out with their poll of who the winners and losers were last night. And during the break, Mary Ellen and I looked at it, and the three winners last night, USA Today say, are Cory Booker, Julian Castro, and Andrew Yang, and the two losers were Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. What do you make of that assessment?
Well, I said that kind of surprises me. I thought Joe Biden held his own. I didn't think Kamala Harris did a very good job last night. But the others, I was surprised at Yang. I can't get over this idea of paying everybody $1,000. I just can't accept that.
No, it's $1,000 a month, isn't
it? Yes, $1,000 a month. Now, is that each individual, or is that a family, or what? I take it it's each individual.
That would be a... You know, I don't... Where does that money come from?
Well, I think from the government. If he's president, it's coming out of our pocket.
Now, wouldn't he have to pass that by the Congress?
I would think so. Yeah, I can't imagine them passing that.
No, I can't think that would float. Aside from the debates, what did you make of last week's meeting between Alexandria Cortez and Nancy Pelosi? It's unusual for a Speaker of the House to meet with a single member of Congress. Why do you think she did that?
Well, she had to. It was forced. I mean, I am totally in amazement at Cortez. What's her full name?
Alexandria Ocasio.
Yeah. Okay, she's an amazing girl. She's got such a presence. She's going to go places, I swear she is.
Who is the stronger personality there right now?
Well, of course, Pelosi has the power. But Cortez is so amazing at how she's accomplished what she has in this length of time. She hadn't been there very long, and she's in the news all the time. The news people like her.
What is her appeal?
It's her drive. She's got a terrific drive on what she believes in.
Now, she would be, I think most people consider... And I believe she has said that because people are actually wanting her endorsement.
And I think, really?
I think so.
There you go.
But I think she has said, and I may be wrong on this, but I think this is what I heard, that the only two people that she's considering at this point would be Bernie or Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, she's on the socialist list. Yeah, she goes that direction. Yeah, the green thing.
The Green New Deal.
Yeah.
Do you like the Green New Deal?
I know. It's a little too extreme for me. Yeah.
As a Democrat, lifelong Democrat, what do you make of this split in the Democratic Party?
It's always been there. You know, when I first announced I was running for state treasurer, they wanted to know what kind of a Democrat I was. I said, a Democrat is a Democrat. They said, are you a conservative Democrat? I said, from Marion, yes.
But you have to be. You'd have to be. You'd have
That's
to be.
Right.
Socialism wouldn't work here.
No.
No, you couldn't be Cortez here in Marion.
No.
Is there any scenario? We know who the 25 possibilities are. Is there any scenario that you would not vote for the Democrat? Is there a Democrat there who you would say, can't vote for that person?
Not that I... Oh, let me think a minute. There's a couple that I'd have a problem, but I might still vote for them. You know, I just want to see Trump out of there. And we've got to get somebody good, somebody that's going to bring our country back to where it should be, to get in there, to take over.
Is there something... is that what this election is all about? Is it about is it the Donald Trump referendum?
Yes. Yeah. It sure is. Ask anybody.
Why has it become that way?
Because of what he's doing to us. He's ruining our country.
Do you think he has a strong support, though? Support system?
I think he's got a fair amount of people, but I'm very curious as to how many of them still think he's making America great, you know.
Is that going to work again, that slogan, that way of running?
Well, we'll find out, I guess, you know.
One of the interesting conversations last night was impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
Should Donald Trump be impeached after we heard from Robert Mueller in Congress? Do you think he should be impeached?
Well, I think that it's going to be hard to impeach him because it's not going to go through the Senate. It won't pass. And then Donald Trump will be bragging about they tried to impeach me and they couldn't do it. I'm not guilty, and we'd hear that, you know.
Does it work the other way, though? Like I think Castro said last night that if he's not impeached, he'll say, look, they didn't have enough evidence to bring up against me.
But we can still vote him out.
That's true. So basically, has President Trump avoided being impeached and taken out of office?
Well, we don't know. They're still working on the impeachment. I mean, every day they've got more people. But they have to have, what is it, 215?
I think so.
Yeah.
Is the Senate a slam dunk that we all think it is? That there's no way that they'll ever remove him from office?
Well, they're sure not doing anything. I'd be very surprised if anybody starts to get some nerve, you know.
Do you think at this point there's any tipping point, anything the president could do that would change the Senate's mind?
No, I thought everything he did would turn people's mind. Nothing has turned them. They've stayed with him. It's unreal. The things that they don't believe in, they used to talk about the debt, and doesn't faze him anymore. He's spending money like it's going out of style, and they don't say a word.
What do the Democrats run against? What are the flaws in President Trump's presidency?
Well, I mean, where do you start? The taking us out of the Iran deal, the friendship he shows to Putin and Kim Jong-un or whatever his name is, and you know, he just doesn't try to get along with the countries that we believe in, the ones that have been our friends, and he's just been totally a problem.
But yet there's a segment, and I bet there's a large segment in Marion County.
Probably that, is, yeah.
That listening right now, who he's their guy.
Well, I just don't understand it.
What do you think it was that allowed him to win?
Well, he won because people thought he could make a difference. And he hasn't made, he's been terrible. He hasn't made a difference at all.
Is he, and certainly not policy-wise, but is he the Republicans' version of Bill Clinton?
Oh, no. Please don't go that direction.
I'm trying to think of another Democrat who I want to compare him with. The Republicans' version.
You've gotten yourself into a mess.
Yeah, that was the wrong I just thought about that. I'll wind that one back in.
Yeah.
Is he the version? How about, I guess the point I was making with that is he the version where he can do things wrong, he can have extramarital activities, but he's a charismatic guy. that even Democrats will watch him because he's entertaining. That was the comparison to Bill Clinton I was trying to make.
Well, you know, there's been a lot of, and practically every president has had a girlfriend or something. I mean, that's not anything that's different. It's the way he embarrasses our country. That's the thing that's so bad. I just can't put up with treating our other friends and allies the way he has, and everything has to be that he's done it, you know. Nobody else has done anything but him. And people get sick and tired of that. Everybody knows he hasn't been successful at the trade. He hasn't been successful. What has he been successful at? He passed a miserable tax bill that's costing people money that shouldn't be. And then the Supreme Court, those are the things he's done, and I can't say either one of them's any good.
There was a story that came out, I believe, last Thursday. Michael Moore, of course, big Democratic supporter, appeared on the Seth Meyers late night show on NBC. And he said that the Democrats have this wrong so far, that they've got to pick a street fighter. Because the only way you can beat a street fighter
is with another street fighter.
Yeah. And when he was asked by Seth Meyers, who is the street fighter of these 25, Michael Moore said Bernie Sanders.
Oh, really?
He did. Well, and you know, honestly, Tuesday night, I saw a little bit of maybe what Michael Moore was trying to say. Because when Ryan tried to take a shot at Bernie, he took a shot right back and used some colorful language.
Yeah.
And when Hickenlooper tried to make the shot at Bernie about the way he throws his hands up, well, Bernie just powered right over him and said, well, I will throw my hands up on that.
Yeah.
Is Bernie the street fighter of the group?
He might be. That's interesting. Who was it? The guy that's been fighting for the people that were involved in the 9/11 situation.
John Stewart.
Yeah. He said it was Oprah Winfrey would be the person that could beat him. And I think that could be possible because she would get the women's vote, and where there's more of us than there is of them, and it could be, but she doesn't want to do it, and so we'll see.
Do you think, can you picture a Bernie Sanders-Trump debate where they're the only two on the stage?
Yeah, I can.
Do you think Bernie would handle him better than others?
I'm afraid Bernie would get mad. He got mad the other night. It doesn't help.
But is that what people want to see?
They want to see somebody get mad?
They want to see... the language he used is something we could say on radio. But, you know, he used the same language with Hillary in the primary debates of 2016, and it was one of the biggest clips there was of that. I think that's when he really took off, when they kept talking about her emails.
Oh, and
he said, I'm tired of hearing about your emails.
Yeah.
And I thought he had that same moment similarly the other night with Tim Ryan when he tried to hit him with the bill. And Bernie doesn't seem to have a, whether you like him or dislike him, doesn't seem to have a distributor on his thoughts. I think the others do think about what they're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bernie just reacts.
Mm-hmm. Bernie's an unusual person. I've never been a supporter of Bernie, but you might be right on that. I don't know if people would accept that type of approach. Now, he has a lot of, millennials. Yeah, I don't know.
Do you think it's wise to go the female route this time.
Well, I'd sure like to see it, but it might, is it ever going to be wise, you know? but we want to win, and like they say, maybe, you know, accept the second spot on the ticket to try to get there. I don't know. It's going to be a terrible campaign, I'm sure.
Is there at this point, after watching these two debates, the ideal group that you would like to see face President Trump and Vice President Pence? If you could pick two out, this person on the top, this person on the bottom, of all the people, is there one that you think would be unstoppable?
I don't know. I'd have to hear the whole group again more than what I have. I think I'd have to see their performances a little bit more. Some of those people I don't know very well. In fact, some of those governors are brand new to me. They might be able to handle him because they seem to be able to handle themselves the other night. So I think a governor has had more experience than somebody in Congress has.
I believe we vote in the primary on Super Tuesday, so it's 7 months away.
Really?
Yeah, I think so, this being August. Mm-hmm. Have you pretty well decided who you're going to vote for in the primary?
No, I haven't.
Still up in the air?
I'm still up in the air, yeah.
What is it you're waiting to hear?
I want somebody that can beat Trump. And you have to listen to everybody. I wasn't very pleased with last night. You know, I had been pretty favorable toward Kamala Harris, but I didn't think last night was very good.
You talked about knowing, in the first hour, Marianne Williamson personally. You also know Joe Biden pretty mm-hmm. well. What's he like away from the microphone?
He is the nicest guy. He really is, yeah.
But he's the front runner. Mm-hmm. He's certainly the most well known. Mm-hmm. He's a former vice president. He's the oldest person running, whether that's for the good or the bad. Is he the right guy? Based on what we know.
I don't know. I don't know. I think during the next few months we'll be able to decide who's the right person. And you just have to keep watching and listening.
Could age hurt him?
Probably could hurt him, but he still looks good. I mean, he doesn't look old. I don't think that's a problem yet, unless this ages him terribly, and I don't think it will. I think he's an attractive man.
There was a funny moment last night that we haven't talked about right before the debate started, and I don't know if it was done on purpose or not, but they left the microphones on when they were shaking hands, and we all heard Joe Biden say to Kamala Harris something to the effect of, "Go easy on me this time, kid."
Oh, yeah.
What did you make of that?
Well, he's just trying to be friendly, you know.
Do you think the microphone, that he intended that to be heard?
I doubt it. I don't know. But
they just left him on.
Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting moment because it was very clear over the television.
Really?
That he said it.
Yeah.
Do you think the moderators are doing a good job in these events?
Well, it's the hardest job in the world. I mean, you've got all these people that are trying to tell you their plans and they can't keep it within a certain time factor, and then you don't hear the end of it. You know, it's very disturbing. But I think they did a fairly good job. I don't know that I liked their questions that well. But I don't know who decides the questions. Do they or does someone else?
I'm sure they have to go through some...
Yeah.
I would think the Democratic Party probably sees the questions.
Do you think?
I would get... Wasn't there a dust-up a few years ago about the Wasserman Schultz giving Hillary Clinton a question that was going on in the debate? So I would assume they have to have them.
Well, and she had leaked it to her,
Where is Hillary these days?
Well, she's laying low.
She's kind of moved out a little bit, doing her own thing.
Yeah, you said all the candidates had gone to speak to her.
They did go to speak to her.
Yeah, that's a good sign.
But is she... She certainly, I don't think, of the Cortez group.
No, but has she met with her?
Not that I know of, but maybe they have.
Yeah. Well, I'd think she'd want to meet her. I would want to meet her. Yeah.
Do you think she's the future?
Oh, yeah. She's she could get slayed in the way, but she's going to be there. I swear she's got it. It's fascinating to watch.
What do you think? Was it? I remember the first time I heard about her was when she beat the incumbent in the primary.
Yeah, right.
And then it was off and running.
Right.
And she speaks her mind.
She does. She says it like it is. Yeah.
Do you like that part of it?
Yeah, I do.
I think that's Nancy Pelosi's anger with her.
Could be.
That she gets on Twitter.
Yeah.
And she says these things.
Well, she's probably getting far too much attention for Nancy to like.
How long do you think Nancy's reign is going to go?
Well, I don't know, but she's doing a fine job, I think. I know there's a lot of people that don't like Nancy, but I've always liked her.
Do you think that if we get a Democratic president, that she might be on her way out as Speaker?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that. I really don't think so, no.
Do you think the squad, these four women, do you think they like her, really?
Well, they're going against her, so my guess is no.
Well, even that, these people aren't running for office, Pelosi and the squad right now. And a few weeks ago, the story was she told them, I don't think she told them personally, but, just I think in a press conference said, get off the Twitter, get off the Facebook. So it's clear there's some kind of a rift there.
Yeah. well, they've pushed too hard on something, I'm not sure what, but they've gone beyond what they should do.
When you were in Washington during that 6-year period, is it a what kind of place would you describe it to work in?
Well, it was a really nice place to work. Treasury's about the best place in the world to work. If you want to know my opinion, I haven't worked anywhere else, but it's got the highest respect. And the people that are there, I was gone so much, I traveled so much that I didn't spend an awful lot of time getting to know everybody there. It was a wonderful time,
You talked about the election of 2000. And Marianne Williamson calling you in 2001 when Gore lost the Supreme Court decision. Did you think at that time that Al Gore would go away like he has from politics?
No, I didn't.
What happened to him?
Well, he's got his own life. He's living his life the way he wants to, and good for him,
Did you ever speak with him after the loss?
Yes. I spoke to him indirectly. My niece went to see him, and so that was the only connection since then.
when that Supreme Court decision, which basically decided the election of 2000 between Bush and Gore, and if Gore had stayed, you would have stayed, came down in early December of 20... No, was that 99? No, it was 2000.
2001.
Right.
Yeah.
When that came down in that month from the Supreme Court decision to you leaving office, did anybody call you? Gore, Clinton, anybody, as it was coming to an end?
Well, I talked to Gore. I told him to hang in there. And I didn't talk to Clinton. I did talk to Gore, yeah.
But you did run into Clinton during the last campaign.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And he was?
Very friendly. Yeah, he's a nice guy, yeah.
Do you think, when we look at this in 2020, or 2020, next year, where does Bill Clinton go down? Certainly, there's... A lot of people feel he was a very good president economy-wise.
Oh, he was, yeah.
But then there's a president who was impeached. There's a president whose own vice president didn't want him to campaign for him.
Yeah.
Where does he go down in history?
Well, if that hadn't happened, he'd have been a great president as far as I'm concerned. That just blew it. That's all they talk about now, and he was a good president.
When you found out, we all remember the moment when he said, I didn't have relations with that woman. The day that it came out that he did, what was your personal feeling?
Well, I tell you, when I was going to a lot of schools, talking to school children, and they would ask me, did I know the president? And I said, yes. I said, he appointed me. And then they'd go, suck in their breath. And I thought, I wish he could hear this. And then time went on and it died down. And I don't think it ever did go away for some people, but it seemed to me, while I was there, it didn't seem to be a terrific issue after a while. It all leveled out, but I know Gore was really mad about it. He was really upset, because, think about it.
A lot of people, I think the two people probably closest to him, well, personally and politically at that time, Al Gore clearly was not happy with him, and clearly his wife was not happy with him.
Right, yeah.
For somebody who was appointed by him, obviously you have reverence for him, for working under him.
Yeah.
But how did that make you feel at the time?
Oh, it made me feel bad, you know. I had people saying things to me that I didn't want to hear.
Does that go on today, or has that pretty well been forgotten?
No, I think a lot of people still think about it. Once in a while, somebody says something, you know.
What was Bill Clinton's ultimate personal flaw? What was it when we look back on that?
Well, he liked women. He did, yeah. I knew that before I ever decided to... become part of his administration. I said, if he's good enough for Al Gore, he's good enough for me. And he had that reputation when he was governor of Arkansas, and you kept hearing those things about him. And then when he picked Al Gore, I said, okay, I'm going to support him.
Because in that primary, you originally supported Gore. Was that mm-hmm. not right?
No, yeah. Gore was in 86 when he ran. He wasn't running that year.
So in the, because 92 was Jerry Brown and Clinton and, were you a Clinton person even before he picked Gore?
No.
No.
No, I didn't. And I thought that would affect them appointing me, because that's one of the questions they ask you is, when did you support the president? And I said, when he picked Al Gore. But I still got the appointment. But, yeah, there's a lot of things that can keep you from being appointed.
Prior to the Al Gore being picked, which came after the primary was over and Bill Clinton had the nomination, did you like a Jerry Brown in those days? I think he was number two in that race.
I knew Jerry Brown's sister. She was treasurer of California when I was treasurer of Ohio. But I didn't know Jerry Brown. But I wasn't supporting Jerry Brown. I really wasn't supporting anybody till I decided to support Clinton.
Everybody thought in 88 and in 92 that it was going to be for the Democrats, Cuomo, Mario Cuomo. For a mm-hmm. long time, that was the and he never ran.
I always thought he had something in his background that prevented it. I don't know what it was, but that had to be it.
And, you know, do you think had Mario Cuomo run that there would have been a Clinton? Because he was so highly touted.
He was a terrific speaker. I remember being mesmerized by him and his speech. He was supposed to sit at my table, and he, instead of sitting with us, he was in his room practicing his speech before he gave it. And so then, he was a terrific speaker.
His kids did okay.
Yeah.
One's the governor of New York and the other's on CNN. Mm-hmm. So the family did but I was always surprised he never took a stab at it.
Yeah, well, there was a reason, I'm sure.
Had to be a reason for that. I think since last time we talked, speaking of that 92 campaign, because it is pivotal, because it essentially was the campaign that led to your appointment as national treasurer. Whether you liked him or hated him, and people felt both ways, he certainly was a charismatic figure. Ross Perot passed away at 89. Mm-hmm. What did you make of Ross Perot in 92 when he came on the scene?
Oh, I felt he was a loudmouth. That's the way I felt about Ross Perot.
Why did he capture, as an independent, spending all his own money, why did he capture so many votes?
Well, he came across with his ideas. He had clever things to say, and he won people over.
If he had not ran, do you think Bush, a sitting president, who had a high popularity after the Iraq War, would have lost in 92? He's the last incumbent president to lose.
Yeah. Yes, I do, because he didn't understand going to the grocery store and how you're... He didn't understand that. I thought that was pretty bad.
For people who don't remember that, that video played, I don't know how many times, but essentially President Bush at that time was, I don't know, they put a can, they were showing him at a grocery store how the scanner worked.
Yeah.
And that just really blew his mind.
Yeah. You know, after he won the war in Iraq, I went to that speech he gave, and I sat behind Ted Kennedy's wife and met her, and everybody was, he was at the top of his game at that point. And then how quickly it can fall, you know?
Economy went south.
Yeah.
And then he went back on his taxes thing.
Yeah.
Read my lips.
Yeah.
And Ross Perot, I don't think helped him. Whether or not it was the deciding factor, I don't think it helped him in the end.
Well, Ross Perot was, he had clever things to say. He was eye-catching.
He was. Uh-huh. He was. There's somebody we've never talked about, though. You just brought up Ted Kennedy.
Yeah.
What was your feeling about, did you have a lot of run-ins with Ted?
No. I said I would never vote for Ted Kennedy. I was so upset over Chappaquiddick that I said, if he runs for president, I'll never vote for him. Then he tried to take over when Carter ran for re-election, and I was a delegate for Carter at that time, and I just couldn't get over what happened. Yeah.
Is Ted Kennedy is interesting for a lot of reasons, certainly Chappaquiddick, but then you also have the murders of his brothers, and he was the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And as a senator, if you were a Democrat, you certainly liked him because he was a liberal Democrat.
I went to listen to him speak, and his whole family would be there. I said, you know, that's so terrific how they stick together. And the fact that he would work with Orrin Hatch and all the Republicans to get things accomplished, and we sure need him today, you know.
In our final 10 minutes here, what is that? What has happened? I mean, Ted Kennedy, liberal. Orrin Hatch, conservative. Strom Thurmond, conservative. The Bushes, Clinton. Newt Gingrich. But they did work together on things. No more.
Nope.
Not even, I mean, you can almost see the vote down party lines. It's a shock if somebody does vote with the other party.
Right, yeah, it's unusual.
What
yeah.
happened?
Well, I think a lot of it is Mitch McConnell. Moscow Mitch.
He does have a new nickname.
Yeah, he does, and he doesn't like it.
No.
So I'm using it.
Is he defeatable in Kentucky?
I hope so. He has been the problem. He has caused more trouble that things do not make it to the floor to be voted on. He's like a dictator in that Senate.
But these Republican senators, if they didn't like what he was doing,
and they don't do anything about it.
Right. I don't, you know, I can't imagine that everybody agrees on everything. So,
no.
So what is going on over there in the Senate?
Well, they're hanging on with their lifeline.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah.
Is there a John McCain in the Senate right
no,
now?
No, I don't think so.
Can those people be elected? Could you be a Republican and elected right now that doesn't agree with the president?
Well, it depends on where you live. Most of the people that are sticking with him are solid Republican territory.
Who's the leader right now of the Democratic Party?
I'll tell you, I don't know. It's pathetic. The guy that is presumably the leader is the guy that's the Democratic National Chairman, and he is few and far between as far as I'm concerned. You don't see much of him. I think we need help. They need to get to work on that one.
You know, I hear a lot of Democrats over the age of 40 who are very resentful of the Cortez group, of the squad.
I'm not resentful of them. I think they're terrific.
Well, the reason that I keep hearing is that, and maybe it's Pelosi's argument with them, is that they act like there was nobody there before them. Like people weren't working for these issues for years.
Well, maybe they weren't working hard enough, you know.
Do you think we did have, it hasn't been that long ago, we had a two-term Democratic president, President Obama. We had a Democratic Senate and a Democratic Congress at one point under President Obama.
In the very beginning. Right?
Was that group just lame duck? Did they just not get it? Did President Obama get it? Was he liberal enough?
I don't know. He was a very, very guarded man. He could have done things that he didn't do, and he wanted to do things they wouldn't let him do. That's a good question.
The biggest knock I heard on President Obama's politics over the 8 years he was there was the same knock Jimmy Carter used to get, was that he didn't know how to schmooze.
I don't think he did.
He wasn't Bill Clinton.
No.
He couldn't talk your ear off.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that says it there.
Is that one of President Trump's strong points?
No.
No.
He runs it all by himself.
Well, I was just thinking of when Pelosi won the Speaker of the House back, and he praised her. And I think that they, oddly enough, Pelosi and Trump, I think they do have a good relationship outside of politics.
I don't think anymore. I think they had it at one time, but I don't think it's there anymore.
And Hillary and Trump at one point. I think she went to his wedding.
I don't think anymore, no.
We've never talked. Maybe this is maybe the most fascinating part of this 5 minutes. Donald Trump. You know, it's hard if you don't like the man, and a lot of people do like him, but if you don't like his presidency, if you just look back on him 5 years ago, he was, as we say, Bill and Hillary went to his wedding. He mm-hmm. donated to her campaign for Senate. Before all the birtherism, he was friendly with Pelosi and people like that. He donated to Democrats. He lived in New York. Most of it's run by Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to him to make him now can't get along with any of these people? No, relationships are all gone.
Well, the first time they said anything against him, he was their enemy. That's what happened. And so you can't say anything against him and stay his friend, you know.
Do you think when he's out, that much like, I remember the furor when George W. Bush was president. I mean, there were calls for impeachment.
Yes.
Yeah, there was a lot of anger, a lot of anger toward Bush. And that he, you know, there were people in his administration that were indicted. Whatever happened to Scooter Libby? People hated Dick Cheney with a passion.
Still do.
Bush, yeah. He's not a popular guy. W. Bush left office with the lowest approval rating of any president in a long time.
You saved the best till last.
But the irony is of that was 10 years ago. And I look at pictures, and he and Hillary are smiling at each other. And Bill Clinton, they're hugging each other and so on and so forth. How does that happen? Is all just forgotten?
Yeah.
In 10 years, are we going to see Trump and Bill and Barack all together, just all smiles?
I don't think so.
So the anger toward Trump is different than W. Bush.
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
What do you think the difference is? Because it's personal?
I think it's the fear of him, you know, what he's doing to our country, where Bush maybe wasn't doing things that you liked, but he was still patriotic. Bush is not patriotic. He doesn't.
Trump.
I mean Trump. Trump, yeah. Trump is not patriotic. Yeah.
When you look at the last few presidents, and maybe this is how we got to where we are. Obama, who we've discussed, was not a schmoozer, didn't know how to walk across the aisle. Bush, I certainly don't think you would consider to be a schmoozer. Is that how we got to where we are? That's 16 years.
Yeah, it's been a gradual process of things being the way they are today. I know that. I can't tell you what we did wrong, but it's evolved, and we're going to have to work our way out of it.
Before we run out of time, I know you watch both debates, and it's been great talking about it. If you had, not USA Today, in two nights, who was the biggest winner?
I think Elizabeth Warren won, probably bigger than anybody else in my book.
And who was the biggest loser?
Let's see.
Tim Ryan?
Well, I hate to say that. He didn't. He made a mistake. But no, I think that I will just leave it at that. Elizabeth Warren was the best of both nights, and I do wish she'd change her plans for the health care.
Oh, you know what? Maybe we'll take this call here before we wrap things up. Okay. Well, actually, I'll tell you what. I'll take that. I know what that's about. We'll be Charlie Evers is coming up here in 15 minutes on the station. He's got some tickets to the Ohio State Fair to give away. Mary Ellen Withrow has been the guest for the last 2 hours, 40th Treasurer of the United States. And don't forget, August 31st, the open house, 2 to 4 p.m. at Primrose, 1550 Wellness Drive. Mary Ellen will be there. Mary Ellen, thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Hey, it is a pleasure.
And down the street, the people that you meet each day.
Legendary newsman, you down.